Welcome to the Danny Palmer Show. Does it sound cool if I say it like that?
Oh, yeah, bells for eyes. Well, sorry, just having a little fun with my girlfriend before the pod began. Just kidding, I don't have a girlfriend.
Whoa, usually if I have music playing in the background, you can't hear it. But I just listen back and you can hear the music. Sorry about that, I turned it down. I turned it off. Danny, nobody wants to hear your fucking background music during the recording of your podcast. Welcome to the vainly titled Danny Palmer Show. I've been doing this podcast for over 3 years now, which is pretty crazy. And I don't know. I go back and forth. I'm like, is it doing okay? Am I great? Am I an amazing comic? Am I an amazing podcaster? The numbers are going up. And then all of a sudden the numbers plummet. And you're like, Danny, just fucking settle. Find a wife, dude. What are you doing? But then I'm like, I don't know. It's kind of, it's a lot to think about. You know what I mean? Any fucking who. It's always exciting to release a podcast episode when it's your birthday, right? Is that something? Does that count as entertainment? August 17th is my birthday. That's when this podcast is coming out. I've realized that probably the only person that actually cares about that on the planet is me. But because I am me, I'm like, this is lit, dude. My coworkers were like wishing me happy birthday on Slack. One of them was like, I think it was Danny's birthday last weekend. Actually, it was a former guest of the, on the podcast, Lindsay. She's like, I saw some pictures that Danny posted on Instagram, so it must have been his birthday this past weekend. I don't know which day it was. And then everybody starts chiming in with these, like, birthday. I'm like, Lindsay, it's not my fucking birthday. It's not till Wednesday, okay? I'm going to have her back on the podcast just to scold her for incorrectly wishing me a happy birthday at the wrong time. I guess you can't really get mad at people for trying to be nice to you, but here we are. I mean, people are like, oh, well, once you're an adult, like, your birthdays don't matter. Nobody gives a fuck. 25, you can rent a car. That's basically it until you hit the, like, 40, 50, 60. But I don't know, man. I just feel like, you know, you're not guaranteed any. Honey, you know, you're not guaranteed a one night in this planet. You never know what can happen. What's that phrase? You're never guaranteed a head in your shoulder or something like that? Like, you don't fucking know. Anytime you make it around the fucking sun, another trip, you should be happy about it and excited. My Uncle Jack would always say, any day you have your health is a good day. So I feel that even if you aren't a fucking 21-year-old or younger, you should still kind of get excited, enjoy your birthdays. I mean, fuck it. Take advantage of it, you know? Like, I like flirt with girls more aggressively on my birthday. Like, over text, I'm like, hey, you know it's my birthday, right? You want to send me, like, a hot picture or something? And they're like, dude, fucking relax, Danny. It's fucking Wednesday. I'm paying my bills. Fucking weirdo. Sorry. Probably shouldn't have talked about that in the pod, but here we are again. Yeah, so I finished watching Game of Thrones, and, you know, I don't want to, like, give any spoilers or whatever, but it's funny, because you know how when you think about doing something, like reading or watching something, and you're like, I don't know if I'm going to like this, and then you do it, and you're like, oh, wait, that was pretty fucking lit. Like, I'm glad I watched it. I know it's, like, a medieval fantasy drama, but it definitely had a lot of good insights on life, and just think back about it, you know? I think my two favorite things, and I'm not giving any spoilers away, but, well, maybe. Well, the one of them is Chaos is a Ladder. Lord Varys. Is that his name? No, fucking Littlefinger. He's talking about that to Lord Baelish. I've already talked about Chaos is a Ladder on my pod, but, like, basically the idea is that some people have, you know, like, you know, lean on religion and faith to provide meaning for their life, and Chaos is a Ladder suggests that there is no higher power, or there is no afterlife, but you can use that chaos as a ladder to, like, motivate yourself to improve your situation and other situations in life and climb the ladder as long as you can until you can't climb it anymore, which I think is kind of beautiful, frankly. I mean, not bad for a fucking medieval drama, you know? And also the idea that you can be both, like, lord of an, or, like, queen or king of an empire and also humiliated within, like, a day of each other if people stripped you of your power, you know? It's like, what is power and status? I read this column from David Brooks, my favorite today. He thinks that, you know, life is about, like, meaning and the stories that you tell yourself, how you grow over time. But there's this book that he read that was saying, like, no, that's not the case at all. Life is all about status. And it's games to achieve status, which is kind of this cold, cynical way to look at things. But then the more you look at life, it's like, yeah, it kind of is, you know? It's like, even if you're being benevolent and being charitable and kind towards others, you're improving your status in the eyes of others, which is the ultimate goal. So I don't know. I guess that's not really a complete form thought. Did you know that
Westworld Season 3, the season premiere of Season 3 of Westworld was March 15th, 2020. Isn't that crazy? That was literally the first day of the pandemic, or like when everybody started like, oh shit, this is fucking real. And then, what, 2.5 years later, now they're out with Season 4. And I don't know. I like Westworld, but like what they've done this season, this isn't that bad of a spoiler. They've gone into like the 1910s instead of the Wild West, which I think is kind of a cool idea. Because the first two seasons, they're in the Old West, you know, the fake land of Westworld. Then Season 3, they go out of it and they go into the modern world, although it's the future. And it's like, well, that's cool. I can't believe they're not there anymore. But then it's like, all right, well, now what, dude? Like, the whole fucking show is based on this fantasy land where you can kill and fuck and steal. And, you know, that's kind of the fun of watching it. Just the immorality, the tempting nature of being immoral if there were no consequences. I mean, who can't say we've fallen prey to that? What, late summer night? I don't know what this means. I'm sorry. I'll just move on to the next thing. Coming up next. Oh, yeah. Dude, the fucking... I love August because it's my birthday month, and I feel like people chill out more often in August than in most other months. But, like, in terms of the sports world, there's not really a lot going on besides baseball. And, like, I always have SportsCenter on in the background. I'm, like, getting ready in the morning or, you know, first couple hours that I'm working. And there's nothing. They have nothing to say. It's like, coming up next, which possible thing could happen in the fall? It's like, dude, I don't care which possible thing could happen in the fall. And then there's, like, wagering shows on, like, what place the Jaguars will be in the division on the... Like, I like sports, but at some point, you got to separate and do something else productive or creative with your time, you know? That's one of the lessons I felt I learned when I was, like, a teenager, like, early 20s. I was a big fan of the Cleveland Indians. Sorry, that's what we called them back then. And I was, and we would never win the World Series. And I was like, God, I realized I had much of my identity was tied into or tied up in the success of a professional sports team. And then it just kind of dawned on me one day. I'm like, Danny, you will never be able to control the actions of a group of professional athletes, no matter what team, no matter what city. You can't depend on that, those people to provide you meaning. They don't even know who you fucking are. I was like, yeah, okay, so if I can't depend on the Cleveland Indians to bring me happiness, maybe I should try to pursue comedy. And that didn't work either. That did provide much more meaning. All right, there you go. This is content. This counts as content, dude. I was reading this article in the paper about the Danish notion of... Oh, fuck. I played the pronunciation of this on my phone because I couldn't remember. Here, I'll just play it. You can probably hear this. Here, listen.
You go.
Oh, did you hear that? No? Hygge? What is it?
Hygge.
Hygge. Okay, it's this Danish... Sorry, I did the noise thing and it didn't really work. The Danish notion of hygge, which is spelled H-Y-G-G-E, it's the art of enjoying the simple pleasures in life. It's crafting a comforting atmosphere to enjoy with a few family members or friends. Non-Danes, that's you and I, friend, unless you're Danish listening to this, which is unlikely. Non-Danes can also embrace hygge. Creating a cozy, homey space can help you recharge and recalibrate. And I love, that's kind of great. You know, it's kind of beautiful. I try to do that. You got to turn your house into a fucking home, dude. When I was a kid, we were like living in this trailer on the property of a school in St. Pete, Florida. And I came up with this idea of relaxation sensation. You just say, because it was always super fucking hot in Florida, obviously. So you take this one room and then you like turn the AC up and you put the ceiling fans on high. You pull the shades down and you have like a bunch of blankets and pillows and comfortable things. And then you just get the whole family to come in that special room in your trailer. And you're like, okay, guys, welcome to relaxation sensation. And then I look around my studio apartment at the age of 47 and I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do relaxation sensation here. What do you think about that? It does help. It does help to create a space of like, ah, this is my fucking refuge. I get it. I get the interior design thing. I can't do interior design, but I get it. I fucking support it, bro. Sorry, I said bro, sis, you know, all the fucking things, dude. Just fucking relax, Danny. Do you ever just, like, discover a news fact from the past that you didn't know? And then you're like, holy shit, something happened in 2009 that's crazy, and I didn't know it happened. And then, like, what is that, 13 years ago? You're like, oh, shit, I just learned something that happened 13 years ago. Like, I didn't know. Remember Steve McNair? He used to be a quarterback for the Tennessee Titans. I guess his girl, I guess it's not completely clear what happened, but it seems like the girlfriend that he was cheating on his wife with shot him dead in a hotel room and then killed herself too. I didn't know that guy's been dead since 2009. Literally no idea. So that's not really a fun or uplifting story. It's just something that happened. All right. I was, my friend, Mike Racine, he's a hilarious comic. He's been on the podcast and he was asking me what I think about having a day job while being a comedian. And I was thinking about it, you know, and it's like, I'm sure that if I didn't have the day job, I could probably spend more time out at shows and like being in the mix. And, you know, Malia Simon, who's also been on the podcast, she's like, you know, comedy, the career path for stand-up comedy, just like, hey man, just like walking up to people at comedy clubs or bar shows and being like, hey man, what's up? Like you gotta go hang and like get in the mix. And I could spend more time doing that if I didn't have a day job. But on the other hand, I really enjoy, I can't deny that I appreciate the stability that a job affords and the discipline and structure that it affords as well or provides. And being around normal, non like show busy, like thirsty people all day. A lot of comics say, I want to get something. Do you have something? I want something. And people in the corporate world aren't like that. And it's just nice. Like for me personally, those are all positive benefits. So, you know, if I was making like $200,000 a year or higher with like comedy, then yeah, I'd quit my day job tomorrow. But I mean, I don't see that happening anytime soon unless you guys blow this podcast the fuck up. And I like having my own apartment in the city. I mean, okay, yeah, sure. It's a studio, but it's mine, you know? I like that freedom that having a day job affords. And I like the intellectual challenge of it. And sometimes it really sucks. Like today I had to do a bunch of like dispositioning candidates like via a spreadsheet. It's like, oh my God, I'm going to kill myself. This isn't actually stimulating enough. But then it's like, get over yourself, Danny. Just fucking, I don't know what I'm talking about anymore. All right, that's the end of that. I had a pilot, a major airline pilot, as a guest in the pod, and learned a lot about like what is actually happening in the cockpit and what the things that I'm afraid of, like I shouldn't be afraid of, and all that stuff. And then I read this other article recently that is a question and answer article with a flight attendant who's been, you know, being a flight attendant for a very long time, and she gives advice for 20 years. What is this woman's name? Her name is Christy Corbel. And she gave a lot of advice about, you know, all the things you want to know but don't know about, like, how to fly and, I don't know, you know, just, like, stuff you can learn from flight attendants. One of the questions, someone said, what are some things that passengers do that drive flight attendants crazy? She goes, don't touch flight attendants. This should be common sense, but somehow it's not. We do not like to be poked, tapped, or grabbed. The lack of headphone etiquette also drives me nuts. There is nothing more annoying than trying to talk to someone who is looking right at me and they don't care enough to pause their movie or take their earbuds out. The funny part is, usually I'm asking them what they want to drink or eat. I give the courtesy of asking them 3 times. If I don't get a response, then I move to the next passenger. Here's the worst part. About 3 rows later, that same person will ring their call button and ask why they didn't get a drink. Dude, that must be so fucking maddening. It's like, bro, I fucking asked you. You weren't even paying attention. I do, like, it is not that fucking hard to, like, just treat people with a basic modicum of respect and, like, pull your headphones out and say hello, you know? That's another thing. Someone asked her, what's one thing you wish all passengers would do on a plane to make your job easier? Acknowledging us as people and not treating us as part of the aircraft furniture goes a long way. It is demoralizing to welcome people aboard flights who look right through us with no response. Smiling and saying little things like please and thank you always helps to boost our spirits. That perfect flight attendant smile is hard to keep when everyone around is giving us the stink eye. It's like just the golden rule. Like, it goes so far. I try to think about that too. It's like, if I walk into a store and I just buy something for like 10 seconds, sometimes I leave my earbuds in and it's like, should I just take these out for a second? Even if it's a short interaction, I probably should. And then I don't do it. No, sometimes I do. Fuck you, dude. All right, I like this one a lot. I marvel that as a flight attendant, you have actually chosen to be on an airplane for a living. Do you ever get scared up in the air? Someone asked her. No, I don't usually get scared. Every once in a while, something startles me, though. I know every sound and feeling my airplane makes, and when I hear something that isn't quite right, I get nervous. If I need to, I call the pilots and let them know what I heard, and they check things out. I would always rather be flying than driving. Driving to and from work is the scariest part of my week. I like being in the sky looking down. The world looks so peaceful from above. My office window is a nice respite from the crazy world of traffic and chaos. Try to think about that instead. Some of our flying fear is a lack of control. We have to put our trust in two people up front who we don't know and can't see. They go through a lot of training to earn that responsibility. We take it for granted, but flying really is a marvel. Try to ignore the rest and enjoy being able to journey somewhere in a few hours' time compared to the weeks or months it would have taken our ancestors. Dude, how lit is that? I love that shit. I love that kind of shit, you know? Reframing your perspective on life and just pulling back instead of like, oh, I'm in this moment in 2022. This small thing is irritating or annoying or frightening me. It's like, think about how far we've come as a society and how safe things are today compared to the past. Obviously, we're not in a perfect society by any means, but the vast majority of human life today is much safer and more pleasant than it was 200 years ago. Not saying all situations, but I think it's helpful to think about that sometimes. I was going to go through this other article, and then I realized, you know what, let's just save that for another time. Well, I can just give you a high-level view of it. So basically, there are these people in their 20s that like to party and go to raves in Ukraine, and their villages are getting bombed, and they're, you know, being attacked, and they can't party. Like, I mean, I guess they could, but they would feel really guilty about it. So now what they've tried to do is they'll set up times where they clean up the rubble from a destroyed village, and they'll set up a DJ booth and kind of like dance and try to like have a semblance of fun while they're cleaning up. And it's like, if those people can do that under the most dire of circumstances while they're literally being bombed, then surely we can find pleasure and respite in our lives. You know, I just, stuff like that's just really inspiring. Okay, to me, this is a nice quote that I'll wrap up the old birthday pod, John, with. I was like, oh, dude, Danny, it's your birthday and you're releasing a podcast on your birthday. And I'm like, what am I supposed to do? Just like walk through like memorable events on my birthday? Nobody gives a green goddamn, Danny. Okay, this is a snippet that I pulled from this newsletter called The Marginalian. It's really good. It's about like literature and art and love and poems and poetry and all that shit. Love is the quality of attention we pay to things, poet J.D. McClatchy wrote, 7 decades after the brilliant and underappreciated philosopher Simone Weil observed that attention is the rarest and purest form of generosity. I feel like that's something I've been trying to work on in the past few years of my life. I think, like, I know some people don't like Joe Rogan, but, like, he does listen so intently and closely to people. And listening to him do that has made me get better at it. My friend Benny D would always be like, you can tell when Danny's, like, kind of zoning out from listening. He kind of gets this, like, faraway look, and he just kind of nods. He goes, uh-huh. And you can tell he's not really listening. And I hated that I was getting that feedback. So I really worked hard to get better at that. And it's nice to see that that's like a form of love. You know, you're really paying attention to the people around you and listening to them and caring about them and taking in what they're saying and validating what they have to say. It makes you closer to people. And that's kind of what love is, right? It's kind of nice. Are you done doing your stupid podcast? Come over here and go down. I always think about like when I do my like girlfriend voice and talk sexually in the podcast, like somebody at my work just being like, all right, we got to get rid of this one. This guy's fucking trouble, dude. All right, hopefully that won't happen. Follow me on Instagram if you'd like to, Danny Palmer NYC. This weekend, August 19th to the 21st, I will be in New Orleans, Louisiana, opening for my good friend and hilarious comic, Giulio Gallarotti. You can go to juliogallarotti.com for show dates and tickets, and it's going to be sick, dude. I've been to Denver. I've opened for Ricky Velez in Denver this year, Julio in Tampa, and now Julio again in New Orleans. That's kind of sick, okay? Look, Nikki Glaser is on her, like, 6th HBO special or something, and she's 37. I'm turning 47 tomorrow. I've never been on TV, except for once. Fox on Laughs on Fox, yeah. I sneezed right there, and then I cut it out. There's no need to make you guys go through a sneeze. So, you know, that's not nice. Don't make your listeners listen to you sneeze, Danny, okay? Anyways, yeah, Laughs on Fox, regional show. I mean, it's cool that I got to do it. I get to fly to Chicago and perform at the Laugh Factory, which I've never done before. So that was lit, you know? Every time you want to disparage yourself about your lack of achievements, it's like, hey, man, but, you know, fucking be nice to yourself, okay? Things are fine. We're all going to be dead for eternity. Don't fucking get in your head. All right, I don't even know what I'm saying at this point. Thank you for listening to the vainly titled Danny Palmer Show. I already said that. God damn it, Danny. Just fucking end it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, that is so nice. Yeah. Yeah.
Jared.